This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, I saw a tweet from Broadus earlier, and we're going to have Broadus on tomorrow night. He will join us to discuss all things Cowboys tomorrow night, especially heading into the Dolphins game. But somebody asked him about Eric Berry and said, hey, why not in this interim of Xavier Woods' injury, go ahead and get Eric Berry and sign him? And Broadus said, look, they gave him a physical and they decided not to sign him. They're probably feeling that he's not going to be the guy for the season.
Yeah.
So, and then he added at the very end of that tweet that he thinks that Xavier Woods is going to be out for just 1 week. Now, I know Fish has kind of been on this board too, and all of a sudden it went from 4 to 6 weeks to like one. And I know it was the national guys, but again, Broadus said it too. We live here. And he lives at the Star. And so whenever you're getting people out of the Star reporting that it's going to be about a week, that goes from, man, that's frightening, to it makes me feel a lot better. And then you're hearing Tyrone Crawford's out, sore hip soreness for a week. And you're starting to think, man, is this a really great time to just kind of get some rest in for some guys that might be a little nicked up?
Are they, or are they just like, I'm going to go ahead and take the Dolphins game off because you might be the most likely to get injured. So, the idea that Donovan Wilson is back and ready to go makes me feel good about some of the, like, potential depth at safety. And then when I heard they were, at least for now, saying that Xavier Woods was day-to-day, I certainly thought that that was encouraging because usually, I know teams won't give you, like, everything about the ins and outs of injuries, but usually you'll get a pretty decent idea where they're like, yeah, it'll probably be a couple of weeks, or, like, don't look for him, or we're not going to talk about him for the next couple of weeks because he's not going to be here. And that hasn't been the case. So I also thought that that was encouraging. But, yes, Corey, I am amused by the idea that people who aren't so hurt might be using this as a mini bye week.
Well, and I'm not even saying that maybe that they are using it, but that the team is looking at it saying, hey, you know, let's go ahead and rest things up, because what's most important, this Dolphins win that we feel like we can get done offensively? Like, that's what I feel. Offensively, they feel like they can win this game. Yep. They don't even need the defense. But they're like, hey, let's go out there and do our thing. So I feel like the coaching staff is saying, let's make sure that these guys who might have a couple of nicks, let's go ahead and make sure that they are completely healthy for the next game, because those games even further down the road are going to be more competitive, and they play physical positions, especially at defensive tackle, safety, where you got to go run around and hit people all the time.
And even with their own injury concerns, like, certainly you would view the Packers and the Saints as bigger challenges than the Dolphins. Like, literally, I guess I could have just said any team in the NFL as a bigger challenge than the Dolphins. The Dolphins look historically bad. And so if they're taking this opportunity to be like, let's do what we got to do.
Yeah, no, and you're at home.
Makes sense to me.
You're at home, get the extra rest. I'm perfectly okay with it. Plus, I have a lot of bigger ideas for Xavier Woods. Sometimes you get in the middle of a season and things aren't going quite the way you want, you know, because he'd love to have a couple of interceptions already. He's kind of in that spot where he should.
At least one for absolutely positively sure.
And so I'm thinking to myself, hey, you ever sat on the sidelines and watched the game and then like, okay, things are going to change when I get back into this game? You see it a little bit differently from the sidelines sometimes. And so I'm hoping that that's something that happens with Xavier Woods. And you know, Tyrone Crawford, like I said, Big body right there in the middle. This defensive line, we're getting Robert Quinn back, but man, it could be very shallow, and we'll talk about that a little bit more once a couple other things happen. So get healthy, get back out on the field, and I want to see this team go after it, man, especially against the Dolphins on Sunday. I want to see them really go after the Dolphins.
12 o'clock kick, 9 a.m. pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up next, Dak Prescott is on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Is that still exciting to you? Plus some fun ways that the Cowboys have circumvented the salary cap over the years. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And this is fascinating, Kevin, because you and I have both killed the Patriots for quite some time for funneling money into some of the players' pockets via outside sources. However, our very own team seems to do the same thing, and we turn our eyes.
Why aren't we better?
Why aren't we better?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Sports Illustrated story about Dak Prescott came out this morning, and I guess the first question, with Dak Prescott on the cover, and that'll be the September 23rd issue, I do believe, with him on the cover, nobody believes in that curse anymore, right?
No. But I want to know if people are still excited about seeing your guy on the cover of a magazine, because, like, magazines are going away. Plus, we're all growing up.
Magazines are going away.
Yeah.
Plus, we're all growing up.
Yeah.
Like, well, you haven't heard about ESPN, the body issue going away?
Oh, my God. I hate the body issue.
That closed it down.
So that's not even the right day. So, you know, I remember when I was a kid just thinking that that was the coolest thing ever. It's like, my guy got national attention. Like, do you think that people still feel that way? Do you still feel that way?
I guess because of ESPN, the TV show, SportsCenter, because of the national audience that the Cowboys get anyway, I just always feel like they're household names. The Cowboys are a household brand around the entire country. Now, the Rangers aren't. The Mavericks are not. The Mavericks for that one season were. But a lot of times the Mavericks were kind of just a dust-off team for the future championship team. The Stars are not. But the Cowboys, everybody knows Jerry Jones. Everybody knows who the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is because most teams want to defeat them. Most fans hate the Cowboys franchise, or they want to see them win. And when I say the hate, man, look at the other side of that. Look at D.C. on Sunday. D.C. was full of Cowboys fans. That was a home game. And you're starting to see that more whenever the Cowboys are winning. All those Cowboys fans start to show up. So, for the Cowboys, nah, not really. Not with the Sports Illustrated thing. If I'm seeing Luka on the cover, that's a big deal. Because then I'm saying people across the country are recognizing some guys that we hold as little treasures. But Dak is, I mean, he's got Tostitos. He's got all the big, you know, Campbell's Chunky Soup. He's already there, out there right now. So that's kind of how I feel about that.
Interesting. I wonder where everyone falls on this from the 817. The curse is now in Madden, not Sports Illustrated. I never really believed in the curse to begin with. I think people will just like artificially pick things where bad things happen to that person.
Also, we're talking about Madden, and the dudes who end up on the Madden cover play football, the sport that like maims all of its players.
Yeah. So should it really be that surprising to you when one of them gets hurt? So, yeah, either one.
I have a book. Really. I have a book of Sports Illustrated covers that my sister bought me. It's a table, a coffee table book.
Oh.
And it's, it's this big. It's about 2 feet wide, 2 feet tall. It's a huge book. And there is a section. It is from Sports Illustrated. There is an entire section of that book specifically about the Sports Illustrated cover curse. So, like, they even detailed it. They went through it and told you all the times that something happened just coincidentally right after that.
I was going to say, that's probably also in their best interest to, like, keep excitement or fascination with the product. But, all right, so if you're not – okay, so apparently people aren't particularly enamored.
Here's one, Kevin, real quick. October 24th, 2011. Nelson Cruz is on the cover of...
Oh, my God.
You're a jerk.
Sports Illustrated.
I agree.
There you go.
Okay, I can find lots of random things. That doesn't make it a curse. All right, now, In this story, though, because you and I were talking about this earlier today, there is, I guess, this notion that the Cowboys have also tried to circumvent the salary cap. I would argue that this is certainly not anywhere near the same level as the Patriots, but it was still interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, no, and I'm going to try and find some of the places, Kevin, because I just found an entire list of all the curses for the Madden curse that we're doing this list tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
We're definitely doing this list tomorrow, and you can deal with it.
And where'd you say you got this list from?
This is actually from the New York Daily News. Mm-hmm, all the times okay. that this has gone down, and Sports Illustrated. But here you go. The Cowboys, the current place, this is what this story is about. The current place that the Cowboys have, the Star, is a facility where Jerry Jones is set up where lots of elbows get rubbed, essentially. And that's one of the perks that is, hey, look, we can pay you the most amount of money if that's what you have to have. Or you're going to be able to, but what Jerry Jones is trying to sell, what Stephen's trying to sell these guys is, if you are a winner, you will be able to rub the elbows with the best. And you will always be looked at as a winner in Dallas. And you've seen guys in this area, Emmitt Smith, Darren Woodson, the list goes on and on, Roger Staubach. If they won in Dallas, they were set for life.
Right.
So if we can work out a better contract situation for you, then all these other perks are going to come along with it. Now, Kevin, I know the very big deal for you was the steak gift card.
Yes.
That was a huge...
Because that was one of the things in the article, and I really like the idea that back in the day, getting that steak gift card is what would have sealed the deal for you and really gotten it done, to which Corey responded, oh, yeah, that'd get the deal done for me.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and it says in this story that even back in the 60s, it was a you'll thank the good Lord for making you a Cowboy. That was the mindset that Gil Brandt and Tex Schramm and all those guys had. Was if you were a Cowboy, you got all these extra things that came along with not just being... It was one of the players had a... it was Timmy Newsom. He was a sixth-round pick. And they offered him $30,000.
Okay.
Very small amount of money, right? The kickback, though, came later on when Gil Brandt made a local software design company, which would allow Newsom to pursue his passion for computer engineering. And Newsom would work there for 5 days a week in the offseason. And then when Cowboys season came around, he was back there playing in the playoffs.
Oh.
And then he kept the gig. And you know what? Newsom had New Tech Business Solutions, which he still runs today in Dallas. The mindset of these guys was, you know what? We're going to add some of these extras. Home builders, car dealers, restaurant owners. They would all be around the team all the time so that they could help guys supplement their income. You know, we can pay you, but if you don't have to pay for anything whenever you walk out of the doors, then it's going to be even better. Movies at United Artists, dinner at Tony Roma's Steakhouse.
Yes, I don't think either one of those things exists anymore.
A free dealer car to drive around, new clothes and a watch for going on a radio show. What?
Have to pay people for that?
Yeah, Newsom was like, I wasn't even a star. You know, I wasn't even one of the stars, but they were doing those kinds of things for me just so that they would get me to take a smaller amount so that they could spread around the rest of that money to other players. And now you look at Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith, when he was asked, you know, the navigation of everything, of how to, you know, when you're dealing with business, where do you go? And he said, I just go upstairs to Jerry's office. I walk in there and I talk to Jerry and I ask him what he wants me to do, how I can do this. Right now I'm an employee, an employer, and I'm also an entrepreneur, and I'll soon one day be an investor because I'll make money off all the things that I'm doing. And he's looking at it and saying, okay, I just cut a deal with the Cowboys Pro Shop for them to sell exclusively my line of sunglasses, and Jerry helped me set that up. Jerry helped me put that in place because of the connections that he has. Now, Kevin, I know that's not the hospital, TB12, right next door to the stadium.
Right.
But that is the same thing. And we asked Frank about this a while back. Why isn't there ever just a lot more money under the table? There is.
There is. And it's fascinating that, like, there doesn't seem to be a punishment in place for this, because I don't feel like I've really heard much of anybody getting punished for this. Make no mistake about it. That seems like the Cowboys are circumventing the salary cap. The New England Patriots give Tom Brady rent-free a spot in the complex adjacent to their stadium. And depending on who you ask, they may or may not force people to take part in the TB12 method. That absolutely funnels lots more money and brand notification into his pocket. And maybe that's why he always takes less money. People are like, well, he's just so generous. Shut up.
He also has a supermodel wife who brings home more money.
Yeah. But, like, even outside of that, he cuts crooked deals with the Patriots that I think should be against the salary cap. And this does seem kind of dicey in terms of that same area where you can be like, hey, would you take $1 million less a year? Like, I don't mind as much in the old days when, like, players weren't making as much and you were getting Tony Roma's gift certificates, mainly because there was no salary cap. And so they could have theoretically paid you all the money. But now when there's a salary cap and everybody has the exact same limit, any benefit you can get, if you're going to cut me a deal on property near the Star, which I knew was going to go up in value, that's a hell of a benefit.
Okay, and take into not just consideration of you're going to help me get those things, right?
Yep.
What about the idea that in the Star, Kevin, when the players are eating lunch, there are business owners, business people that are working in their business offices having lunch next to them. The Star is connected to business offices.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Sure.
You know, we just recently went up to the marketing area for the Dallas Cowboys and checked all that out. And that's not just, there are other offices renting and leasing spaces out of there. And you know what? They go down and have lunch at the same place that all the Dallas Cowboys players have. And there are areas to sit and talk to those Dallas Cowboys players. And you know what? Some of those things are things that some of these players might have an interest in becoming part of that business for the future. I mean, that's how Roger got involved in his commercial real estate company. He said, okay, what's something that's going to set me up for life? He loved making deals on real estate. That's something that he really enjoyed. And he knew a bunch of guys that were deal junkies too. And they all loved going out there and being part of that game because it was competitive. And that's what Roger Staubach loved. And so you know what? He became one of the best. The entire Central Expressway area, he was helping lease out all the offices that were going up in that area because he had some connections from when he was playing while he was still playing. If you're a Cowboys player, because Jerry Jones has opened up the eating area for you, for all these businesses to come down there and work and talk with you all the time, it just makes it, you have that much more access to hundreds of millions of billions of dollars in the DFW area. And Kevin, when I say stuff like that, I'm talking about like high rollers are able to rent out the Cowboys war room for their fantasy football draft. Like all these different kinds of big time money people are leasing spaces out of the Star and they have access to the players and the players have access to them. That is a very good selling point whenever you're saying, okay, how do we sit down and make you part of the pie? How do we make you part of what we're doing?
And now that I like in terms of a competitive advantage that seems more legal, setting you up for the future. You know, like if you're like, let's go back to the example I used. If you're selling property for under market value at the Star and you're like, and then near the Star, then you're like, hey, and then when we build the Star, the property is going to explode in value. Like, that is definitely circumventing the salary cap. In this instance, you just have the advantage of working with a good businessman. I'm all about that. And if they can set you up for business, not only through your career, but the rest of your life, a la Staubach, like you talked about, then I don't even think that's circumventing the salary cap. I just think that's a great idea and something that I wish would work to our advantage more often. You know, like how, when's the last free agent that you heard that came in here and they're like, yeah, just a chance to be hanging around with Jerry Jones. Like I think that should be a discernible advantage, but I feel like it doesn't really help.
And I mean, look at this for just a second. It's also, the Star is also, in addition to being where the Cowboys practice, because those people who lease the businesses out there also have access to the practice facility as well. You can't take selfies inside of this place.
Yeah.
Like, there are laws, there are rules that they have that are very strict.
You could say laws,
but
I like that.
The Star can be, I mean, it's kind of a kind place where they say where you can attend a conference, watch high school football, discuss an investment portfolio or perhaps store gold bullion.
Ooh.
Doubloons. It's where the Cowboys practice, rehab, game plan. It's also a 4-star hotel, a health and fitness center. They have that there too.
Yep.
An outdoor party and event venue, a youth sports field, an office space. Keurig and Dr. Pepper are moving in right next door, directly behind the practice facility. And this is the most brilliant line of this whole thing that kind of brings it all together. The intent of its mastermind, Jerry Jones, is simple, if not explicitly stated, to create a self-propelling universe here in North Texas, a football Green Gables built around the Cowboys brand. That's exactly what it is. All these players that come to play for my team, they are part of the Cowboys brand. They all have their own thoughts on what their brand should be. And instead of us saying, well, now go off on your own and create your own brand, you have the Cowboys power to go along with everything that you want to do and the access to every business that could help propel you in making your brand even bigger and better. And so I don't think that it's part of Jerry Jones being able to go get free agents to come back, but for the rest of the future, this might be the leg up that Jerry and Steven have created in order to continue signing their guys that they draft and convincing them of the perks of being a Cowboy.
Dallas Cowboys that are listening and high-level athletes that are listening elsewhere, please go out of your way and spread this message.
Do you think somebody said the Players Association is going to catch on and stop players like Jalen from taking less?
Nope.
Do you think
that's not what a union
if
does.
If the players are smart, they'll convince the rest of the owners to do the same thing that they're doing.
Plus, at the end of the day, we've talked with numerous players who have said the same thing to us. Yes, the players' union will push back at times if you try to take what they think is less than a market value contract. But at the end of the day, every single one of those players said the exact same thing. The agent works for me. And if I want to do the deal, then I'm going to do the deal. And I don't care what he thinks. And if he doesn't like it, I'll go get a new agent. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Cowboys release Taco Charlton. Is he the franchise's biggest draft bust ever? If not, then who? Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
877-881-1053. Is Taco Charlton the franchise's biggest draft bust? If not, who do you think is? 877-881-1053. Kevin, this is one of those guys. How many games did he play? How many actual times did he step on the field? Because I feel like his snap count was really low, and I just don't think that he. I think that he might be the biggest bust, especially since you put that first round grade on him, or you put that first round number on him when you drafted him.
So. Before we say for sure, there are a couple people who...
He started 7 games in his career.
Hey. He was here for 874 days, Corey.
He had 28 solo tackles.
Did you know his tenure here was the shortest for a Cowboys first rounder since Billy Cannon Jr., who was taken in 1984, who was forced to retire after his first season due to a spinal injury.
Ooh.
So when you're in the same company as somebody who had to retire after a year because they hurt their spine, that's probably not a good sign.
No, absolutely not.
I'm going to give you a few candidates.
All right.
Get your thoughts. Maybe we can go from there. Billy Cannon Jr., although, again, you kind of feel like maybe that was out of his control. What about...
Yeah, I'm going to say he's not a bust.
Okay. What about Kelvin Pritchett?
Tell me more about Kelvin Pritchett, Kevin.
Well, he was traded instantaneously to the Detroit Lions, okay. So that probably shouldn't
Dude,
count.
No, that is not going to be a bust.
Can I just tell you, though, in case people are like, wait, what did he do? That was in the same draft where we had already taken Russell Maryland and Alvin Harper.
Okay.
So by the time we got to him, that was our third first-round pick, and we're like, yeah, we could probably go ahead and just move on from that. All right. So you don't want to go with that. What about the next year? Robert Jones. Now, Robert Jones is somebody we did keep, and, you know, he was here. We took him in 1992, number 24 pick, after Kevin Smith. He was on the all-rookie team, but he only stayed here for 3 years.
I don't remember enough about him, so I'll say picking him at number 24 overall that, yes, he was a bust.
Okay, well, here's what I'll tell you for that as well. He did in 1995, one of the years we won a Super Bowl, he had 100 tackles.
Oh, that's impressive.
So, maybe no?
Thanks a lot.
All right.
I appreciate you for winning the Super Bowl.
1994, Shante Carver.
What's wrong with Shante Carver?
I mean, you know.
I mean, he was part of the 95 Super Bowl team, Kevin.
Yeah.
He was taken out of Arizona State in the first round.
That is correct.
He had like 55 tackles, 11 and a half sacks over his two full seasons. I mean, that's more sacks than Taco had.
Uh-huh.
He has a Super Bowl ring.
He was here how many? 2-3 years?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a, he wasn't Charles Haley. And I think that's what a lot of people were like, oh, and that's one of the problems the Cowboys, I think, have fallen into at defensive line lately, is instead of just taking best available player,
yeah,
they are taking position of need, and that's how you got Shante Carver.
Okay, what if I told you you could have drafted, because this is another thing, I think, like, who you could have had instead probably, like, changes your
did opinion. You yeah man that's a great point, Kevin, because Bobby Belt posted the Cowboys draft picks of late, and the position player that went next and the Cowboys have hit more often than they haven't. It's pretty intriguing.
Well, I'm assuming you wouldn't have been 2-1 over by picking up Gus Frerotte in the 1994 draft, but here's what I will tell you. You could have gotten Kevin Mawai, who I'm pretty sure is in the Hall of Fame.
At that time?
Yep. Or you could have gotten Isaac Bruce.
Who was your center at the time when Kevin Mawai was available?
I don't know.
Stepnoski, Derek Kennard.
And in that same draft, you took Larry Allen.
Yeah, okay.
Can you imagine lining Kevin Mawai up with Larry Allen? Holy freaking God! What about Isaac Bruce? You could have gotten Isaac Bruce.
Yeah, that would have been nice. You wouldn't have had to trade away to get Joey Galloway. You know, later on down the road, you wouldn't have had to make that move. So, yeah, good point.
1997, David LaFleur.
Yeah, this was bad.
Okay.
All right, so Jay Novacek and Eric Bjornsson were at tight end, and they were awesome, right?
Do you want to know something that's really going to make you sad?
What?
Like, this is going to be crushingly sad to you. Did you know that David LaFleur was the second tight end off the board in that draft?
Who was Tony Gonzalez the first?
Tony
one?
Gonzalez was the other tight end off the board.
Was he the first one?
Yes.
Or was he the third? Because then I'm really upset.
If he was the third, but I'll tell you this, could have been much worse. You slide down a couple picks in the draft. Could have gotten Jim Drunken Miller.
What?
Remember him, the quarterback who played for the 49ers?
Drunken Miller?
Drunken Miller.
That name's not going to work out for you.
Or you could have gotten Ray Carruth.
No.
Remember him?
Did you say Rod Carew?
No. I said, it most certainly did not. I said Ray Carruth. Mm. However, here's a couple of other options, especially at a time that maybe we knew it, just didn't want to accept it. Troy was starting to wind down a little bit. Maybe the same with Emmett. You could have gotten Tiki Barber, Jake Plummer, Corey Dillon. Any of those do anything for you?
I like me some Corey Dillon, but not really until he went on to play for Belichick. That's when he really became good. I will tell you this. I loved playing Madden with Corey Dillon because if he got 100 yards in a game, the crowd would start chanting Corey.
Okay.
And so I just absolutely loved it. It was crazy. One day my buddy was like, are they chanting your name? And I was like, hell yeah, they are. It was awesome.
What about if you could have gotten Jason Taylor?
That would have been cool too. Wife would have been super excited about that.
Yeah, that's true. Now
she would have gotten all the sandwiches.
This one's a little tricky because it's strictly for who you passed up. Because the player himself, he was fine. I mean, for a number eight pick, but Greg Ellis. Because instead of Greg Ellis, you would have taken Randy Moss.
Yeah.
But he was fine.
When you compare that, you know, you lost. You failed there. But Greg Ellis was a good player for a long time. He wasn't Randy Moss. Maybe the second best receiver of all time, arguably.
I think that's a fair argument.
Possibly the single best receiver of all time.
Okay.
Shut your mouth. Millennial. Greg Ellis was a fine player, a good, I mean, you even go back and look, man, he tried to convert to a 3-4 linebacker on the edge. He tried to do everything that Bill Parcells asked. He was an ultimate team player. I liked Greg Ellis, but that obviously would have had a really, really talented receiver.
Oh man. Let's go to the 1999 draft.
Quincy Carter.
Ebenezer Ekubon with the number 20 pick. Although looking back on this now, what a garbage draft that was. Do you know how many Hall of Famers came out of that draft?
None.
One. Champ Bailey.
Wow.
Number one pick, Tim Couch. Number three pick, Achilles Smith.
Was Clinton Portis in that draft too, though?
I don't see him in the first round.
Okay.
But
all right.
No, I think he might have been 2 years later. However, there were a couple of, there's some fringe Hall of Famers who could still make it. Donovan McNabb, Edgerrin James, Torrey Holt. And I don't know who you would have taken instead of Ebenezer Ekubon, because I'm looking at all the picks around him. What a junk hole that was.
All right, let me ask you this, Kevin. Is 12.5 sacks in a season a decent number?
That's a great number.
For a defensive end? All right, that's pretty good. Now, 12.5 sacks over 5 seasons is a problem.
Oh, no.
And he was drafted 20th overall, so he was a huge disappointment. He never made as many as 30 tackles in a single season for the Cowboys.
Wow.
He was bad. He was bad. But again, you're right. That entire group was bad. With the Browns and Broncos, he had 23 sacks and a career-high 48 tackles in 2006.
Okay.
What? In 2006, he didn't have 23 sacks in 2006. Lies.
I don't want to say Terrence Newman. I just thought Terrence Newman was going to be so much better. So
he was exactly what I thought he was going to be coming out of the draft. Exactly what I thought he was going to be.
All right. So instead, I take
you to good guy too.
2005. The person that Bill Parcells wanted to take instead of DeMarcus Ware, he eventually got him anyway. Marcus Spears did a big bag of nothing.
I thought he was fine.
While he was here. Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah.
You took him with the number 20 pick. He never made an all-pro team, never made a Pro Bowl team, never had more than 45 tackles in a season or 2.5 sacks.
All right, Kevin.
But I guess at least he was here for more than 2 seconds.
I know you're working your way down this list.
We got two more big ones.
Bobby Carpenter has to be on this
list. Next on the list! The number 18 pick in 2006, and the pick that made everyone concerned about selecting Leighton Vander Esch. Because he's another
absolutely
white linebacker. Bobby Carpenter. Here are some astonishing numbers about Bobby Carpenter. His 4 years with the Cowboys, he averaged a robust 0.9 sacks per season.
It's beautiful.
1.5 sacks, 0 sacks, 0 sacks, and 2 sacks. And then there was the standout season where he had 96 tackles. And by season, I mean all 4 seasons total. So when he was here, he averaged 24 tackles per season and 0.9 sacks.
Yeah, he's not good, dude.
Could he be the worst?
I think so. I think that's one of the worst draft picks you've ever had, especially for how high you took him.
All right. What about Felix Jones?
You took him at 22, right?
That was a terrible draft across the board. You had the number 22 pick, and you had the number 25 pick. You used it on Felix Jones and Mike Jenkins. Now, Mike Jenkins, for a minute, looked like he was going to be awesome until you realized he was scared of football players. My issue with Felix Jones is he was here for 5 years. He started 23 games. I guess that's way more than Taco.
Yeah, and he also like looked like he ate a lot of tacos that one time, and you were like, "What happened?" And he just lost it all. So, listen, I think that Bobby Carpenter is right on the same level as Taco as far as what you expected and what you got. But I will say, because you got, I didn't expect anything though from Taco. I really didn't. When I went coming out of the draft, Kevin, we all were like, no, that's not the defensive end we want. But the couple guys that they wanted went fast. And then there was TJ Watt there, right there for everybody to take. And you're like, okay. And they didn't get him. They didn't take that guy. And nobody really knows the exact reason why. Like, there are lots of different reasons given to us. But Taco, I think you could put Taco and Bobby Carpenter down as the two biggest busts.
Oh, well, hold on just 1 second. We have a late addition on the fan text. 877-881-1053 from the 214, Robert Shaw. Now, Robert Shaw, I take you back to the 1979 draft. Pick number 27. Robert Shaw went on to start a robust 6 games. For the Dallas Cowboys, which, you know, that doesn't seem like enough. He was only here for 3 years. First year, played mostly on special teams. Then somebody got hurt, and he got to start a game. Then that same person got hurt again, and he got to play 5 more games. Then 2 games into 1981, he got hurt again, tried to come back for 20 months, could never get it together, and never played football again. So 6 starts.
I'm still going to say Taco and Bobby Carpenter. Even though this dude only got 6 starts and never could get his life together, I'm still going to say Taco and Bobby.
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
I mean, yeah. Like, there is a plethora of Hall of Famers taken after him, including Dan Ross, Mark Gastineau, Bob Golic, Tony Franklin, Doug Crosby.
Was Bob Golic, was he the one on Saved by the Bell, the new class?
Or was that Bob Golic. And then Mike Golic is the one who they don't know
the
what to do with
years.
Now.
College years, I don't know.
Yeah.
One of those two.
So, fun fact about that same draft, you know who else was taken in the same year as Robert Shaw? I mean, you won't guess it.
Joe Montana.
Ooh, actually, was that 79? I think that might actually be right. Kellen Winslow.
Senior?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not the rapist Kellen Winslow.
Hey,
but
Kevin,
his dad.
I'm going to do a little exercise with you real quick. Just
okay.
Kind of run through some of these. I told you about this little list of the pick for each year and the next pick available
yes.
at that position. Zach Martin.
Okay.
The next pick at that position, Xavier Suofilo. For another team.
Oh.
Yeah, all right.
Really?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Okay.
The next pick at that position, Stephon Tuitt.
Oh.
All right.
I feel fine with that.
Devin Street, Jared Abrideris,
mm-hmm.
Ben Gardner, Terrence Feed,
okay.
Will Smith, Corey Nelson. Let me run down here. Byron Jones.
Okay.
The next person taken at cornerback safety, Demarius Randall.
Oh, man, there was a minute.
Is that a push or is that a win for the Cowboys?
Yeah,
all right.
Maybe push.
Randy Gregory.
Okay.
The next person taken at that position, Frank Clark.
Oh, I wish we would have gotten Frank Clark instead.
All right, so
both terrible people.
You missed on that one. Hold on, give me just a second.
Maybe not terrible for Gregory, just kind of stupid.
2016, Zeke. The next running back taken was Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay. I still obviously prefer Zeke.
I mean, that was a number 4 pick,
sure.
But Jalen Smith, the next linebacker taken, Miles
Jack.
And who is a mess right now.
Yeah.
Like, he is a mess.
But for a minute, it looked like we made the wrong decision when Miles Jack took off immediately.
Yes.
And you're like, well, we have to wait.
Dak Prescott.
Okay. Connor Cook?
Cardell Jones.
Oh, we ain't here to do no school. What was it?
Taco Charlton.
Oh. TJ Watt.
It was TJ Watt in that one. But, I mean, when you go back and look over the time, Kevin, you go back and keep looking at some of these names, you're actually, you've drafted really well compared to whoever the next person was available for these guys. Like, I'm looking at Michael Gallup and Tre'Quan Smith. Tre'Quan Smith, it has little bursts, but man, if Michael Gallup can get back out on the field, he's going to prove to be an amazing player.
So there's some people upset that we didn't throw out one more person.
Mo Claiborne?
From the 214 and from the 430. Mo Claiborne, no?
You're right. Because you had
he's
to trade
only here
up.
For 5 years.
Because he was there for so, you know, because he was at such a high pick and he was good, but he was never elite.
He was here for 5 years and had 4 interceptions.
And you thought, I mean, that's, Jerry thought he was going to be the next Deion.
Yeah.
And that was what a lot of people were kind of throwing out there, Kevin. That
but
he was
Taco and Bobby Carpenter. If you're in the same group as Bobby Carpenter, that is a disastrous place to be. We'll maybe see in a year or two, Tristan.
Did you say the same room?
Yeah, the same place.
Okay. Well, I mean, because he's like, isn't he like doing a podcast or something? So are you saying his co-host, that's a disastrous place to be?
I have no idea why anyone would listen.
He's on TV.
To his
he's
thoughts.
On like college football TV stuff, dude.
Okay, college football, yes.
Yeah.
Why you would listen to his thoughts on pro football? I mean, when your coach calls you out by using a woman's name because he thinks that's the amount of effort you're putting in.
He had like 12 interceptions against Tony Romo.
Oh, well.
Remember that?
Because he went away.
That one game he single-handedly beat the Cowboys.
I mean, who doesn't have that many interceptions against Romo? We're the K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Maybe that joke made you sad. Well, maybe then it's time for What's Wrong Wednesday, 877-881-1053, because I got a couple sports things that are irritating me. Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on the K&C Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey and Kevin, Reggie in studio this evening. Maybe a little What's Wrong Wednesday is, where's Colby? What's wrong? Is it side piece? It's after 9. You know, we haven't
it's gotta be.
Heard about side piece in quite
either
some time.
Either that or he's becoming a broken down old man.
Oh,
because he's like, I'm tired. I can't come to work.
What's Wrong Wednesday? Hit the music, Reggie! From the 214. What's Wrong Wednesday?
There we go. That's what was about to be wrong for me.
What's Wrong Wednesday? Rugi is still playing every day for the Rangers. We need to pinch hit for him if the runners are on base for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't exactly understand.
They're just, dude, you got to just play. That's what they're doing. They're just like, just go out. Just go. We're paying you. We're not going to pay you to sit on the bench. So,
oh, man.
Let's go ahead and pay you to go out there and fail.
Especially not in a season where you're not, like, really playing for playoffs. At this point, you're playing to figure out what you got. Yeah, no, keep going.
What's Wrong Wednesday from the 214? This person is totally right. The winner is Bill Thomas for the worst Cowboys first-round draft pick. I have to admit, I was not familiar with the work of Bill Thomas, but holy crap, was that a bad selection by the Dallas Cowboys. So, Bill Thomas was taken with the number 26 pick in the 1972 NFL draft. He played for the Cowboys for one season and started no games.
Oh.
He was a running back, and they thought they were worried about the future of Dwayne Thomas and the injury history of Calvin Hill. So they went with that. However, he was never fully recovered from a left shoulder surgery he had in college. And then he hurt himself again on a dummy blocking drill in training camp. He touched the ball only during kickoffs. And then at the start of the 1973 season, he was waived due to his lack of progress and injury history. In his history with the Dallas Cowboys, I believe he ran for 0 yards And he had 39 yards rushing with Houston and -3 yards rushing with Kansas City.
It's not very good, Kevin.
So, Bill Thomas, congratulations. You might be the new worst Dallas Cowboys first-round draft
pick. What a generic name. From the 214, what's wrong Wednesday? Me and a bunch of Tolos are on strike at the GM. Now, Kevin, this is a big story right now. The 48,000 GM workers went on strike on Monday. They want to higher wages, more generous health care benefits, more job security than management was been willing to offer in the new contract. And then the White House stepped in and dumped, I think the GM dumped the health care plan. And that is now like, GM dumped health care for striking workers. So that is poured gas on this fire.
So I'm kind of curious, this person in particular, or anybody else who works for GM or has experiences in strikes, et cetera, are you part of this strike because that's just what you're going to do, or because you like really believe in what's happening? Like, if it was up to you,
is it because are you asking like if the union said we're going to do this?
Yeah, so you don't really have an option, or you weren't if you weren't concerned about breaking the union or be called a scab or anything like that, like, would you be back there, or do you say, you know what, it sucks not to have money or at the moment or not to be getting my paycheck, but this is something worthwhile and we have to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to take part in that, you kind of have to believe in it wholly.
Yeah, what's the point of being in the union if you're not down for the cause, right? Like, ultimately, if you're willing to reap the benefits on the back end, you probably have to be willing when the time comes to put up the fight to do that.
I mean, that's true, but I know there are some professions where you are either pressured or flat out told you will be in the union whether you like it or not. So, like, I hear what you're saying.
Sure.
But I wonder if there are some people out there who are like, I mean, it's not really my fight. Like, I know to a certain extent it is their fight, but there are some people who are like, this is not really my fight, but I'm in it whether I like it or not.
Yeah, and of course, like, my labor dispute tendencies and thoughts are creeping through here. So, yeah, no, I'm actually interested just as much as you are.
Have you been in a labor dispute before?
I have not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But you ever
maybe
wanted to be?
Fortunately,
you
right?
You guys ever wanted to be?
Only after I saw that Simpsons episode about them going on strike. But then when I realized the logistics of it not being hilarious. Yes, among other things, that is correct. Very good. You know what? I'm proud of you right now. I don't get to say that often.
Thanks, everybody.
But when I realized it was just a cartoon and like real world applications probably didn't apply, then
strike, can't you get another? You can still get another job, right?
I mean, sure. But what if they expect you to be there on the picket line?
What's that?
You don't know what the picket line is? Like,
I have to be there to hold up a sign?
Yeah.
Also, like, how quickly do you think you just pick up another job?
I mean, in this economy.
Things are clicking.
Politics!
Nice.
From the 469, driving home from work and listening to KNC, there is nothing wrong Wednesday.
Ooh, bang. I like that, except there is one thing that's wrong.
What?
And I would say, like, obviously it's not as bad as the last thing that he was at least a big part of. But then again, very few things are. Art Briles is already getting into trouble at the high school level. No, he's not turning his back while students or players rape students.
At least we don't know that.
Not that we know of yet, like he did at Baylor. But Art Briles has barely been coaching in Texas for a month. He's already being accused of cheating. So there is a department eligibility committee meeting that's being held, I believe it might have been this evening, regarding the eligibility of at least one and as many as four student athletes that illegally transferred into Mount Vernon for the strict purposes of playing football. So Art Briles clearly not really learning much along the way, still trying to find a way to cheat the system and be an all-around scumbag of a person.
You're talking about not learning much. Isn't that the whole idea you go and get Art Briles, right? Like, the whole idea you go and get Art Briles at the high school level is, like, we want this guy to go ahead and use his expertise to get us back on that winning train.
Yeah, that's probably true, and Mount Vernon is 3-0, and they've scored 151 points in three games, so maybe they think success. I just think, you know, I don't know, maybe your soul's worth more than a couple victories.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why if you wanted to be mad at anybody in that whole idea, probably Mount Vernon ISD.
Oh, absolutely.
For going and hiring
him. Look, Art Briles is a scumbag. His son's a scumbag. They're not going to change that. But Mount Vernon doesn't have to be a scumbag. But instead, they're like, yeah, you know what? I know you kind of helped out covering up some rapes, but why don't you come on and go ahead and coach some teenagers? Good job, Mount Vernon. But fear not, Corey.
Oh, I have a lot of fear, actually, right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Does something happen?
There's a What's Wrong Wednesday problem in my life that I, like, actually, at this moment specifically, just realized.
Is it that you drank all your beer?
It is. And, Kevin, help me if I'm wrong here. This weekend is my 13th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
Oh. And I have put zero thought into a gift for this year. Like, I literally just realized that I have to get a gift for my wife this year, and I have done absolutely nothing. And over the next 2 days, we're going to celebrate it on Friday because the weekend's going to be kind of weird. Over the next couple of days, I don't have time to get out of the house to go get a gift.
Did you just say that you just realized that you have to get a gift for your wife this year as if you don't get them other years?
I mean, I do. Every year I'm on top of it, dude. I'm great. I'm freaking awesome at this.
Doesn't sound like you're going to be on top of much anything this weekend.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe some sandwiches.
Come on. The traditional theme for the 13th anniversary is lace.
And the modern gift is textiles or furs.
How? Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Get her on me.
How is that the modern answer?
Textiles?
Furs and textiles. It feels like we're going to work around the time of Reconstruction.
It's 13 years, right?
How is that 2006? Yes.
Okay.
How is that the modern thing?
Textiles. Yeah. You never saw it. Did you see the movie Wanted?
I don't think I watched it.
Okay. Nobody. Y'all haven't seen it.
I don't believe I've seen it.
I think Morgan Freeman runs a textile shop. As a cover for the assassins that all work there. So textiles or fur, like a mink coat, is that something? Some furry underwear? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Maybe some level of shawl, something like that.
Does she wear the shawl or
different
mink
fabrics
coat?
Represent the comfort and warmth being married for 13 years brings you.
I got it.
But if you're going for fur, make it faux fur, is what they say.
I got it. Here we go.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Ooh, I just found a store that sells lingerie next to the Target over my area. I could stop there and get some lacy stuff.
We're just rolling to the Target. tomorrow, North Texas Giving Day.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to be at My Possibilities, wait until they're about to cross a threshold, and then be like, babe, I'm making this donation in your name. Drop like a good amount of money that crosses the threshold.
Yeah, but that's neither lace nor textiles or fur.
But that's, I think
she. And I've stuck with the traditional or modern gift every year.
I just think that if you donated that money to charity, that might mean more to her than I got you these panties.
Go get her like one of those little fake animal tails on a keychain.
Ooh.
Fur.
Or a pair of underwear that has an animal tail on it.
Or just an animal tail.
Yeah.
What? Hold on. Does that mean a hot animal?
She could just stick in the middle of her back or something.
What did you just say?
It just wags. I don't know.
What's Wrong Wednesday? Are you a divorce attorney? You might need to hit us up at the beginning of next week. What's Wrong Wednesday? There's dumb people out there like this from the 817. Your Art Briles hate is kind of ignorant, is it? So you think it's ignorant that I hate somebody who actively tried to cover up rapes?
On multiple occasions.
On multiple occasions.
In multiple locations.
I'm sorry, but I think your opinion is stupid. And I think you should get your life together and educate yourself by reading up about what a trash human being Art Briles is. And then come back and we'll talk. From the 430, Mount Vernon is in our district. And we've heard that a couple of those players came in from out of state. Yikes. Just, oh my God, from the 214, just get her some of those apple bottom jeans and the boots for her.
From the 817, Corey, take your new soda body and put together a mock ESPN The Body issue.
Can't do it. It's after September 6th.
Yeah. I guarantee you we could find somebody who's a photographer who would roll up here.
Oh,
and
Choppy had to do that whole photograph.
Yeah, and y'all idiots showed that to me, and my life will never be good
again. From the 817, get her a raccoon hat.
Why? Don't like get Davy her Crockett? A raccoon hat and be like, babe, you're the king of my wild frontier. And she'd be like, what?
And then tell her that she embiggened something or something like that.
I mean, that would make me laugh, but there's a reason I've never been married. So I think these are mostly terrible ideas. There was a couple mixed in there, but for the most part, these are absolutely terrible ideas.
A lot of people saying What's Wrong Wednesday is that the station doesn't care about podcasts anymore. There is some technical difficulty with the podcast.
Wait, is there?
Yeah, I think so. Is there not?
I thought I was just being lazy.
Oh, no, Reggie's not.
Hold on, is that what's happening?
I don't know.
You said that there was a technical difficulty.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You said there's a button I can't push.
Now I don't know, because then I'm going to get that's above my pay grade. And I'm like, that's exactly your pay grade. You can answer that question. You know I'm too technically stupid to do a podcast.
You know what I've always...
I can be on a podcast, but I can't do the podcast.
You know what I've always wanted to tell somebody, and I never have because I'm just not that kind of a person that realizes that this is the moment I get to say this?
Talk to the hand?
You say that all the time. Now, I've always wanted to tell somebody, that's above your pay grade, and then just walk off, but I've never done it. And
I'm here all the time.
You do? I'm sorry.
So.
Yeah, I could see that.
Head to the stockyards and get a rabbit. 104 miles.
Are they like alive?
We have rabbits in our area all the time. Remember, I ran over that one and threw in the neighbor's trash can. And there's
like, this sounds like a lot like a of mice and men type situation.
Save that one from getting eaten by that coyote. So I feel like there. Yeah. Oh man, there were a bunch of rabbits in my backyard, but my dog got them.
Oh no! Were they all too busy having like a rabbit orgy?
Carter made a sign for the mother rabbit that said, sorry, our dog ate your babies.
That's silly. Rabbits can't read. So not only are their babies dead, now this nonsensical sign doesn't help that rabbit out at all. Should have given them a carrot. Sorry for your grief. Like, you could etch it on there. It's not going to read it, but still. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. It's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, in addition to being a starting quarterback, could Gardner Minshew be getting into the wild world of pornography? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.